CliffCentral.com. Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice, and this is the show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. And wherever you've been the entire year, I want you to stay open and keep your mind keep your appetite open, because today we have a very, very special show. And irrespective of your journey this year, whatever you thought about the year, you want to take the best from 2016 and take it into 2017. And that's what we're going to be doing today. So we're back. We live in a world where it's difficult to separate the two, humans and brands. They influence each other. When brands like South African Broadcast Network, otherwise known as the SABC, devolves into behavior unbecoming of its brand, millions of its employees are affected on many levels. Conversely, if the brand had strong leaders who behaved at the highest level, both its employees and consumers will also benefit. Inspired people move brands forward. Today, we'll explore leading ideas that great leaders and brand leaders incorporated in 2016 and the top 10 ideas you should embrace for 2017. Later in the show, RealNet will have a special episode of her safety net, where she's going to link sort of influencer marketing into this conversation. And I believe that you're going to find the connection really, really strong. I mean, we've talked about influencer marketing quite a bit, and I'm grateful that she's done the research to give you some of the top tips about influencer marketing moving forward. But I'm not alone. My official co-host for today is the inspiring entrepreneur and founder of Branding and Storytelling Project Edits, Nomdine Ndaki. How are you?
I'm good. I thought you were going to say my official co-host for 2017.
No.
But then
no.
I was like, for the day.
We don't know you like that. But we like you, we love you, and we really appreciate you. And we're also going to be joined by RealNet throughout the conversation, because RealNet's history in PR and marketing is extraordinary. So it just doesn't make sense for her not to be part of this conversation. RealNet, how are you?
I'm excellent. Thanks, Timothy.
Awesome. So I am straddled between two extraordinary women in this show. Actually, three, because we've got our producer on the boards, Miss Palesa. She's not on a mic, but she's going to be smiling a lot because, you know, we're all good people. So today, before we get into it, I realized that I want to make this personal. Nomdine, how was 2016 for your personal brand?
It was really exciting. I mean, I think one of the most amazing things that's happened for me this year is that I feel like I literally posted the other time and I said, I think I found my magic.
You found your magic. 2016
was the year for me where I think I finally found my magic. I got comfortable with who I am and what I want to do and what sets my soul on fire. And it wasn't, I think for myself, something I felt was conventional, in the sense that a lot of people had said, especially around the conversations, right? A lot of people had said, people my age and young people are not interested in being better, and they're not interested in investing money in conversation platforms. I think.
Okay, so let me just make sure, for those who are listening for the first time, Nomdine, if you go to edits.co.za, she has Edits Talks, where she hosts conversation, highly inspiring conversation with a network of phenomenal people. She brings in extraordinary sort of leaders and people with great voices to dialogue and just really sort of talk about how to sort of build themselves and so forth. But you're saying that this year, that was, you found your voice in that space.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've always had the voice. I found the courage.
Okay.
To literally say, this is who I am.
Okay.
Whether you like it or not.
You've been very bold this year.
I have been.
You've been bold.
I've been very bold this year.
You basically had your followers bulldoze me online and say that That was fun. And it was a lot of fun. And people inboxed me. Like serious celebrities, like inboxing me, talking about give Nomdine a chance. So that's why you're here. You got to love your people. Your people basically said, you know, you need to be here. So anyway, what was the highlight of the year for you?
I think definitely establishing Edits Talks. The most ironic thing is it didn't even happen the way that I would, because I'm a perfectionist a little bit. So what I had in my head didn't quite translate to what happened in real life, but I still I celebrate small moments. I celebrate small victories. I always dream big. So I'm always feeling like I'm not delivering as much as I should. But I still am very, very proud of establishing Edits Talks. And I'm really excited about 2017 for Edits Talks, because I think that's the year when it's going to – what's in my head is going to translate to what people see.
And what's one thing you wish you would have done differently?
You know, I was so bold this year. I think I have a lot more moments where I feel very proud of what I did. And a lot of the things that didn't happen according to plan were lessons for me. And I know it sounds like I'm being...
You're dodging the question. The question is very simple. What is one thing you wish you had done differently?
You know what's funny? You told me you're going to ask me that. And I really, really thought about it.
You know when you prepare somebody and they still don't answer it?
There was absolutely nothing.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Rianette, before we get into this conversation, how was 2016 for you in your personal brand? Not any emotional stuff. We're talking about branding today and some of the extraordinary ideas you can take forward in 2017. But for your personal brand,
yes.
How was 2016?
It was a good year because I could see that the hard work from the two previous years actually paid off.
Okay.
All those free gigs, all those things that you do, the writing, the free talks, the, you know, working
hard.
This
has been harvest year for you.
So this year it finally showed me that it was worth it, because if you are willing to do those things, then it sets you up as a thought leader in that space. And yeah, one of my highlights was winning the award for Women in ICT, first runner up.
Yes.
And to me, that was just like okay, great. This is working. And yeah. So that was it.
And one thing you would have done differently?
Probably more social media.
Social media. Ah, interesting. Good stuff. All right. Awesome. And I think, Namdi, you need to work on your Twitter. Yeah, you spend a lot of time on Instagram, and your Instagram is popping. You're doing the modeling thing, and it's a great. I mean, you're hot, but we need to work on Twitter. Anyway, as we go forward today, I want to set the tone for the conversation. If you're just tuning in, the big thing is, what are the key leadership and brand leadership ideas that you need to take forward in 2017 if you want to thrive, if you want to fully embrace these ideas to be able to create a competitive advantage for yourself? And here's why. That the entire world is going through an extraordinary space of complexity. And when we get into a space where we feel very uncertain. In fact, the word of the day is uncertainty. When we're in a space of deep uncertainty, people look for a number of things. And brands are designed to respond to the environmental conditions. So when things are uncertain, brands have to respond a particular way, and people and leaders have to respond to uncertainty a particular way. So it's extremely important that you recognize politically, economically, the world is going through high levels of uncertainty, which has deep implications and consequences to your personal brand, to your brand as a leader, and to you if you're running brands and you are a person who is driving campaigns and content development. This idea of uncertainty needs to be taken very seriously. So the first thing, we're going to go through sort of a top 10 list today, but I want to make it very clear that this idea that, you know, people are taken lightly, that, you know, Brexit, Donald Trump, these are all signs that the world is divided and confused and not really sure what they want for their leaders. When I was at MIT studying neuroscience for leadership, we had 15 different countries represented, and not a single person in our group felt they were comfortable with their leader. From Colombia to Chinese to all around the world, people felt that, but we turned this thing into an opportunity. And so that's what this conversation is about. We're going to come up with the top 10 things, and we're going to give you some bonus points as well. And we're going to frame, because we've dealt with a little bit of the influence of marketing, we're going to leave sort of Rianette's influencer tips towards the end of the show. And then she's going to sort of supplant her safety net and weave just slightly into the very end this idea of sort of top sort of influencer tips for 2017. So I want to start it off. Namdini, can I start off?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Awesome. The first thing is, don't take yourself too seriously. Have fun with your campaigns. Now, despite the fact that things are extremely serious out there and people are confused, people want to laugh and escape this chaotic world. And as I discussed on the Science of Laughter episode a few weeks back, laughter has extraordinary health benefits and people want to engage people who boost their health and immune system. So the idea that you provide a light, a bright light for people, is going to give your brand an extraordinary advantage. And the main reason why is when people sort of feel tense and angry and uncertain, they want to laugh. And Namdi, you enjoy laughing.
Absolutely.
Right? If you think about some of the brands that you adore, mm-hmm. And people you adore, and people you follow mm-hmm. and you enjoy, like, who are some of the people you follow that you know are guaranteed to make you laugh?
Jeez. Oh, I can't say the name. There is an Instagram account that literally posts like the most hilarious videos. Well, best videos on Instagram is great. And yes, I will refer a lot to Instagram because I suck on Twitter. I will get better. Best videos on Instagram is literally so hilarious. I also have an Instagram group, obviously with Zintle and Masejo, where we send each other a lot of content that is hysterical. Most of the time it really is stuff that's funny versus stuff that's motivational, because we have a lot of motivational conversations. Exactly. So absolutely.
Fun.
Hilarious. Zintle and I laugh every single day about every single thing, random stuff.
And think about the genius of brands like Nando's. When they sort of highlight and they operate in a very satirical way and they have fun and they make light of things, people enjoy that. When the most complex things happen in society with President Zuma, etc., what do? They turn it into something fun and they keep winning awards by doing this. I mean, Rianette, if you think about some of the brands you adore and people you feel loyal to, are there any that sort of make your day because they make you laugh?
Yes, I think they do. And they all evoke some kind of emotion. And I mean, we all know the cats and the dogs ones are always the funny ones, but yeah, the emotional ones and the laughter. I mean, we love that. Yeah. So I can think of some of those brands. Yeah.
Awesome. Number two, I'm going to go to number two because this links
all the way to number five.
No, I'm not. I'm not, because this one links to you. Yeah. It links to the work that you and Zintle have done with creating a tribe. When people feel uncertain, remember the key word is uncertainty. When people feel uncertain, they like to be part of a tribe. They like to feel part of a family. They like to feel part of a group. They like to feel that they are safe amongst like-minded people. So tribes will continue to grow and evolve. People want to feel like they are a part of a movement, something that's strong, something that's viable, that's something that's going to sustain itself. Nike has done it with their running communities, but you guys did it with the Era family. I want you to share a little bit about where that came from and how you guys decided to engineer that and the benefits it's had for the brand that you, and Zintle's brand and so forth.
I think in just how we've always engaged between, just amongst ourselves first as friends, we've always kept a certain level of authenticity. And I think with establishing the school, we engaged with so many girls over the period that they were at the school, coming into workshops, talking to them about how to make themselves better. We've always had that air of really, really caring for who they are. So when the whole Era family concept came up, it came from that space where we were like, we know that half the people that follow our conversations, that follow what we have to do, are people who are vested in who we are first. So we wanted to figure out how to bring them into our lives, because my friendship with her is probably one of the most documented, if I may say, friendship after Oprah and Gail, maybe. And a lot of people are always throwing similar questions to me and her. So when you look at our DMs, they're very, very similar in the sense of aspiration and all of that. So we wanted to bring that community closer, and we knew we were selling a product, but we wanted people to feel. It's what Rianette was saying. We wanted to sell an emotion beyond the product, so that when you feel that when you're wearing the watch, you feel like you're part of a community and you're part of a specific movement.
Okay, so let's go back. So this Era family is largely evolves around what? It evolves around when you're part of this family, you're part of the watches are a key ingredient, the information, access to inspiration. What is the Era family fundamentally about?
You know, I don't think we've created plugins and tools around what the benefits, if I may say, are. But what we wanted to say is you're part of a network of people who understand that they're at a space where they can achieve literally anything.
Okay.
For us, the message was about women empowerment, a movement around the world where everyone is excited about female brands, what the possibilities are. And I think as much as it's a big conversation, not a lot has happened in that we need to address the person. We need to address the heart. I feel like there's a lot of tools that are opportunities that are given to women. But if women are not ready, I don't know if we'll effectively use them.
Who was the first member of the Era family?
Jeez, I actually would not know that. I don't think we've paid attention to that, but that's a good question. We'll find out.
We need to find out. And you guys should give them something.
Yeah,
definitely.
We should send them something.
And are males allowed in the Era family?
Yeah, males are allowed. I think it's so funny because of the whole conversation with Bono.
Yes.
And the Glamour Woman of the Year Awards.
Yes.
And him being nominated. I think it's so fascinating how that whole thing erupted, a conversation around should men be honored in a woman movement.
Gender, lives,
right?
And so forth.
I believe that men play a big part in the evolution of how the world sees women.
Got it. Rihanna, are you seeing that the safety net community has become a tribe? People are who care about thriving online, operating in a very sort of safe, responsible way on the cyber highways and so forth. Are you seeing that? That evolve as well.
Yeah, you can see people who've either been affected by it, who've been victims, or who are parents who are worried about their young ones. And so it's, you can actually identify specific groups within that tribe with their needs being answered. And it's quite interesting to see how difficult it is to engage with certain people because this affects everybody, but it's something not everyone wants to listen to.
Got it. Yeah, Cliff Central is becoming the same. I mean, you look at this sort of Christmas, Cliffmas carols, Cliff Central carols. It felt like a community of people, like-minded people.
Yes.
You know, when the Soweto Gospel Choir, I mean, Numbdin, you missed it. I'm not sure where you were, but I think we invited you. But next year, you have to be there. And essentially, it's a celebration of sort of like-minded people and a community of people who come together to launch Christmas, really, and to really get into the Christmas spirit. And it gives the Idols sort of members of the platform. And Idols, those guys can really sing.
They can.
I hadn't heard them live.
They can.
They were amazing.
You know, seeing them on TV versus live, I mean, Noma blew me away. By the way, if anyone knows Noma, I would actually like to mentor and work with her free. Just literally as a mentor, not as a strategic, I'm sure she got strategic people around her, but just sort of as a mentor, because I can see there, she has extraordinary potential and there's an authenticity there that's really, really quite special. But anyway, so the first two points are don't take yourself too seriously, and really sort of flip this sort of tenseness on its head and have fun. That's going to be big because as society becomes more uncertain, people are going to look for spaces to invest in that can make things a bit lighter. And then secondly, continue to build tribes. I mean, Seth Godin sort of pioneered this concept in an extraordinary way, and he continues to sort of build on it. I mean, he just had a tribe sort of event in New York this past week, and a friend of mine went named Gerard. And I can't wait for Gerard to come back and tell us a bit more about it. In fact, may have him on the show early in the year to talk about what he sort of learned in New York at this Seth Godin event. But I want to move to number three. Numbdin, I think you're ready. You got this look on your face like you've got number three.
I feel like you have like this whole, it's like a testimony out here. So I'm going to speak to obviously things that I've been observing and things that have worked for me, especially in 2016. And one of the things that I found very, very powerful, which I've also seen with a lot of successful and powerful people, is establishing morning routines. I think the way that you start your day sets your entire life.
Morning routines.
Morning routines are powerful. I think just out of snapping you out of not of studying the day in a drag, they are also a great space to create me time. A lot of people, when you start talking to them about create me time, you know, especially like when you're a mom, entrepreneur like myself, and you're also a wife, and there's all these expectations in the world around what you should be doing and how you should be doing it, the mornings are the best time to set the tone for what your day will become. I saw a YouTube video. I'm going to try and share it on Twitter. There we go. I have a tweet. I have viewed a YouTube video around the behavior, the morning routines of successful people. And I remember something as crazy as Tony Robbins saying the first thing he does when he wakes up in the morning is go for a cold swim, because that gets him alert for the day. It's absolutely amazing how small changes impact your life. So for me, for instance, my routines, because I suck as a morning person and I've struggled with it for a very long time, I've gotten better this year, but I made it a priority that every night, because I'm a night person, I'm the girl that's going to work until I'm done versus the girl that's going to wake up and start the day very early. Okay. But I love mornings when I do have a chance to wake up early. What I do every day is before I go to sleep, I journal. And you know this. Right. It's digital. I struggle to write now. I literally struggle to hold a pen for a very long time because I spend so much time on my phone. So I spend some time journaling. I spend 2 hours every night before I go to sleep to myself. I journal. I find 10 things that happened in the day that were amazing. And I drink tea. Literally, oh, wow. I drink chamomile tea every night and then I go to bed. I find that every night that I do that, the last thought, there's a guy who speaks about the last 5 minutes before you go to sleep as well. I'll share that. That's a second tweet. My thoughts in the morning are always so positive because the last thing I thought about when I went to bed was what was amazing about my day. And there's a lot of horrible things that happen in the day. There's a lot of doubts that we carry around with us. Donald Trump becomes the president and we don't know what's going to happen. There's so much uncertainty, like you said. But when you invest in paying attention to the small things that you can appreciate about your life, the friends that make you laugh, a call from Timothy to come and do the show, which is something you enjoy, all those things, paying attention to that. For me, morning routines, and if you can't do the morning, evening routines. Give yourself 2 hours every day, and it will absolutely change your life.
That's powerful. And one of the things that I'm learning in neuroscience is that when you go to sleep, if you prepare yourself for sleep and you put off bright lights and you disengage and you go into quiet spaces, you go into creative sleep quicker. So what you're saying is when you arise, you feel more alert, specifically because you've entered a space of healing and creative sleep much quicker. So your brain repairs itself, and when you wake up, me time becomes much more sort of meaningful.
You know what's even amazing, Timothy? Literally, even in the day when I smell chamomile tea, it reminds me of a beautiful moment. So I think just in terms, I don't know what the neuroscience guys would say to that, but I think just what I have around me. Oh, another thing that I do is actually burn a candle. With that whole experience, I burn a candle. And I think if you try and keep it to a similar scent, when you come across that scent in the day, it reminds you of that feeling of calmness. And it has absolutely, absolutely changed my life.
Awesome. So today we're talking the top 10 ideas to take into 2016. We've covered the top three so far. And, you know, you can change the order a little bit and we can have some fun with that. And maybe you can even let us know what your sort of ideas are and your ranking of these ideas, or additional ideas you have. You can go to my website, www.timothymaurice.com. But ultimately, the first three things were don't take yourself too seriously. And the number two was form tribes in groups, but not in sort of a cliquish way, but in a way that sort of rallies people around this idea that you have similar goals, similar vision. And so people can feel safe. And then me time. Then it just broke down the value of me time before sleep. And when you wake up, have sort of a regimented approach. When we come back, we're going to go into the next sort of seven right after the break.
I am a South African. I carry the hopes and dreams of my country and the generations to come. I know that it's not where I come from, but where I'm going to that really matters.
At Sibanye, we believe the future of our country will be defined by our actions today. which is why we are committed to the development of our leaders. Sibanye, we are one. Visit us on sibanyegold.co.za.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome back to Unbranded. I'm Timothy Maurice. That's M-A-U-R-I-C-E. And if you're listening for the first time, this is a show where we explore the link between human and brand behavior. We want to build better leaders, but also build better brands. And the two influence each other. Stronger people, more creative people build better brands, and better brands influence society to make better people. So I want to operate in that link to make sure that we understand how they impact each other. And today we have a special top 10 ideas from 2016 that we can take forward into 2017, branding and leadership ideas, and we're fusing them together. So whether you're in branding or you're just in leadership, we feel that these ideas are going to benefit you. And we have a special co-host with us, a couple co-hosts actually, Noam Dini Mdaki and Rianette hanging out with us. We gave you three right before the break. Don't take yourself too seriously. Flip this complexity on its head and have fun. Number two was tribes. Build tribes where people feel connected in a very positive way. And number three is me time. The value of sort of connecting with your deeper self. And Noam Dini wants to give number four. Break it down.
So my number four, like I said, I'm going to speak really, I think 2016 really was an amazing year, because I think a lot of the stuff that I'll speak about is stuff that I picked up in 2016 and that actually worked for me. And my number four is challenge your habits. It's so funny. You just spoke about it now around your phone. So Timothy's phone crashed.
Yes.
He's been DMing me.
Yes. It's beautiful.
So he just actually told us about how he could have possibly put his SIM card in a different phone and weren't trying to use that, but he decided he wants to see what's going to happen in 24 hours. I think there is... It's so ironic. It's so funny to me when I hear people or I see people sending me messages around what their challenges are when I send out stuff around how I behave and what I do. And I look at that's exactly where I was a year or two ago. And it feels like you will never change, especially the struggle around sleeping for me, like waking up in the morning, because I have the habit of sleeping late. But one of the things that I've decided I actually do is, when I pick up a bad habit, I challenge myself to 10 days of change. The whole idea of actually putting a number to it is absolutely amazing. So your number was 24 hours. You want to see what your day is going to look like without you having a phone. I'm sure you've discovered so many ways to communicate with people, so many ways to transfer information, yeah. So many ways you've realized that you actually can't just maybe post on the go, or, you know, your camera maybe is not great on the iPad versus your camera on. You pay attention to so much. I think there's so much power in changing your habits, because you see a different perspective of life. So what I do is I challenge myself to 10 days, and I develop 30-day concepts, right, where I'm like, okay, for the next 30 days, I will journal on a specific topic, or for the next 30 days, I'm going to write around a specific, I'm launching something actually in January, which is going to be a 30-day challenge for me. It's so much fun. It doesn't put pressure in the sense of I don't take the things I do too seriously, which is our number one. Yes. Right. And it allows me to engage authentically and really, really learn from people. So even with the sleeping, I will randomly be like, I actually don't like the fact that people can get hold of me maybe before 6 or before 7. For the next 10 days, I will wake up at 5 or I will wake up at 4. There's actually a TED talk around 21 days where this guy woke up at 5 a.m. For 21 days and documented how his life changed. I'll share that as well.
Awesome. That's wonderful. I mean, especially these are things you teach people and that you're in dialogue around at EdX Talks as well, right?
Yeah.
So can people get, become part of a mailing list with EdX Talks?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Where do they go?
You just email me. Literally send an email to info@edX.co.za. We always, increase and get our database going through the talks that I do. I just did a talk at the graduation this weekend, and I always ask people really for their email addresses.
Can't even throw stuff out randomly. What graduation?
Oh, So we have, obviously, you know, I have a school that I own with Zintle where we teach girls how to DJ. And as part of the school, we teach the skill set of DJing, but we also have workshops that are life skills focused and empowerment workshops. We had our last graduation this past weekend, and I gave a talk there. I think one of my best, if I may say so myself.
Who asked you to do the talk?
Who asked me to do the talk? I think they actually used me because they wanted the venue that I use for the Edis talks.
I see.
But it was an amazing opportunity. My current struggle still, and I'm not experienced like you in talking, is I feed off the energy of the audience. I had an amazing audience. I think that's why I enjoyed it and had so much fun. If they were not receptive, when I start seeing people like on their phones whilst I'm talking, it throws me off.
Freak you out.
It throws me off. So the ladies, the young girls I was speaking to this week, were absolutely engaged in paying attention. I also used the trick I learned in, it's a presentation. It's a book about Steve Jobs presentation skills. I'll share that as well. I have five things now. How you need to, when you present information, you need to put it in threes.
Sure.
I used that and I wasn't even ready. So I was really happy about this weekend. But back to the point, it really is about challenge your habits.
Okay.
And do it in a fun way.
Got it.
Right?
I'm going to challenge my habits. One of the habits I have of giving people a hard time.
Absolutely. Yeah, I've heard your podcast.
Yes. I'm going to back up just a little bit, but I feel that we need to push people. Am I right? I feel like we need to push people. Anyway, let's move to number five. Number five, Rianette, I think you're going to appreciate this one.
Go for it.
Number five is there is a return to the nostalgic. There people, when we're in a space of high uncertainty, you know, challenging your habits, having more me time, understanding the value of tribes, not taking yourself too seriously, important. But going back to appreciate, if you notice how brands are starting to bring back vintage, old school things, Jordans, the vintage Jordans outsell all of them. There's a sneaker brand called Diadora that I grew up with coming back strong. We have this, we go back and we want to experience things that were part of an era where things were more safe. That's why uncertainty plays a huge part in this. And, you know, a lot of your value and advice you offer, Rianette, is really inspire people to think about the old school values, things that really matter beyond this sort of temporary sort of, you know, quick, you know, these feelings of, you know, what is
instant gratification.
Why am I so slow? So, you know, do you have any brands that you love that take you back? Songs or artists or anyone?
I think songs and smell was mentioned earlier as well, but songs, definitely. The song that was played earlier took me back. But it's quite nice to see what happens because it just brings us all back to that feeling and that emotion again of, you know what, it's okay to be real. It's okay to be grounded. It's okay to write a note instead of just sending a WhatsApp. It's okay to do something traditional. The other day, I was speaking to someone, we're working on a campaign, and I said, but how about, because he said, okay, I'll just connect with everyone on their Facebook accounts and so forth, other restaurants, right? And I said, but why don't you just walk to them and give them a handwritten invitation to come and join the meeting? He's like, oh, you're so old-fashioned. And I said, no, it's traditional, really special ways of communicating, and we forget. So I like the fact that these things are reminding us, hey, there are other things that's worked for centuries, and they still do.
And speaking about how they link to brands, I mean, if you look at how Apple, for example, and I'm not sure about Samsung, but I'm sure you people have Samsung have this as well. But in the messaging app, you can now write notes.
Yeah.
And what is that? That is a return, and that's a way to boost your brand. So remember, everything that we're talking about has an extraordinary link between human behavior and brand behavior. The next one, this is going to seem very old school. And if you call me old school, that's fine. So before we go back to Norm Daly, I want to share number six, which is efficiency. When things are uncertain, people want to know that they can count on you. I can't count on anything else in the world. So I want to be able to at least know I can count on you. And brands that are efficient and you can trust are going to be the brands that thrive. And I know, for example, this may sound cliche, but it's going to give you a two-step ahead advantage. And I've seen it in my life. What I do when it comes to proposals, I have a rule now, and I'm upping that. My rule is when I turn in proposals, I turn in a day early. When I turn in columns or any sort of associate dynamic that I have, I turn them in early. In fact, I just turned in my last column for Destiny Mag a day early, and my sub-editor or my editor at Destiny said to me, thank you. She said, you know how many people I'm chasing?
Yeah.
And all those people she's chasing for their column before the end of the year are going to be people they're going to question whether or not they should keep them next year.
Mm-hmm.
You see my point?
Mm-hmm.
So make life easier for someone.
Make life easier for other people. When they know they can expect your newsletter and you deliver it earlier than they expect, all these things give you an extraordinary competitive advantage. So, Reynette, I know I can trust you. You're always on time. You always email. In fact, I think I got this stuff from you because you can count on Reynette. You know for a fact she's going to deliver. She's going to be prepared and so forth. No, I'm not sure about you yet. But one thing I do know I can count on is you smiling and be excited, and I can count on you moving to the next point. What's your next point?
Geez, I had two as you were speaking, but I think I will speak to find your voice and inspire others to find theirs.
Mm.
I think a lot of brands, when I speak from a perspective of just working with brand managers, and maybe let me not say brands entirely, but just brand managers, I find that a lot of brand managers are always asking you to do work that is similar to what other brands are doing.
I love that.
It is frustrating. I think in a space of uncertainty, people want to know who you are, so that when they come to you, they know what to expect from you. And I think when you find your voice, you make other people courageous enough to find theirs. I think there's a quote around you having the courage to stand as who you are, right? To shine your light.
Yeah.
Right? I don't care.
You sound like those people in church going, I think John 3:16 says, just, you know, love yourself and
like
give up.
Bible. But in any case, I think definitely. And I find that the more courageous you are, the more you encourage other people around you to have courage to be who they are. And I think that's so important right now in the society we live in, where there is so much information that is thrown at us and everyone wants to be everything, mm-hmm. because it's kind of become very easy. And we spoke about this also at the beginning of the year, and you were saying, especially for people who are smart and intelligent, there's going to be so many opportunities living in the continent, and you need to find your voice. You need to decide what it is that you're going to stand for, and you need to have the courage to stand in it. It's also great for building community and tribes.
Absolutely.
Because then you are specifically speaking to people who authentically believe in what you have to say. And I've seen it with my following, for instance. I've always been the kind of person that believes in inspiration, but I've always been strategic as well. So I've always been like, maybe it doesn't work. Maybe people want to see selfies. People want to see a boob or whatever the case might be. But the minute I stood firm in who I was, I found that so many people then came out of nowhere. People who don't even post quotes, people who don't even speak to inspiration, are always commenting about the stuff that I put out, because they know that when they come into my space, that's the kind of energy that I command. That's what I want to put out into the world. And that has really inspired me to stand for what I believe even more, and really, really find comfort in who I am. So I think in a space of uncertainty, that's one of the things that makes people feel at ease. And brands would do that very well, like the Coca-Colas, you know, the Starbucks, where you know when a commercial comes out, you know exactly what you're expecting from them.
Exactly.
And at any point, you know when people start saying, that doesn't look like something Starbucks would do, you know you've got it. You know, when people start saying, that doesn't look like something Timothy would do. So from a personal perspective, you know, and also from a commercial brand perspective, it's so important to know who you are, find your voice, because it allows you to think more creatively.
I want to play this from this new artist that I have completely fallen in love with. He's very controversial, but listen to what he says about what you're talking about.
I know that, but being around in that atmosphere and seeing how people move, you know, seeing how they make records, you know, what kind of records they make, I'm just like, I don't want this shit for myself, and I don't ever want niggas to try to pull me into that, because I've been told a couple times, like, hey, do this shit, man, do that, but I'm like, man, I don't want that for me, man, and if I keep telling y'all I don't want that shit for me, and y'all keep, you know, trying to nudge and push, I understand y'all got y'all vision and y'all got y'all formula, but that shit don't work for me, man. I'm not going to conform, like, I'm not settling for that shit, because if I do it once and it pop, I'm going to have to keep doing that shit over and over again. You can't build no fan base like that. You become a fucking song instead of a person. I'm not trying to be that, man.
Migraines from overthinking. I'm trying to let go. Let go of my past, man. That shit been trying to creep up. Contemplating on if I'm really as strong as I thought. Bitch, I might be quick to put me down, but as much as I see.
Anyway, I was having a moment. I went a little too long with this. The main point was very clear. Do not conform. And, you know, your point is extremely powerful. And it actually leads into my next point, point number eight, which is linking to this sort of finding your voice and helping other people find theirs, inspiration and imagination. You know, when things are deeply uncertain, one of the most powerful things you can do is help transport people into a tomorrow. When things are highly uncertain, being able to transport people into a space where they feel that they are experiencing hope through vision. And hope through vision is something that's powerful. When brands make you feel like by getting in this car, by attending a particular event, going to an edits event, that by imagining that and imagining what you're able to do is imagine, get people to imagine their future in a very clear way, it relieves them of the brutal pain and realities of now. And whether they're in a safety net conference and they're there and they go, you know what, if I take this thriving idea and I take this responsibility navigation idea and I fully embrace it, then tomorrow is going to be better. And what most people get caught up in is that they feel that now is everything. Mm. So they get so caught up that the brutal reality of now is my end that they cannot appreciate and see the value of tomorrow. Now, I want to move towards this sort of last point. Do you realize that we're towards the end before we transition to the six in the influencer tips from what is your next point quickly?
I think I'll just speak to something that happened at the graduation, because I gave a talk and I also sat with Busiswa, who is on Zintle's My Name Is. I think whilst you were speaking, it literally came to me now, you need to tell your story. I think we live in such silos through digital media that we are losing touch with reality. Therefore, we are constantly living in a space of augmented reality, right? You look at someone's feed and you absolutely think your life is horrible. We don't have enough people telling their stories. I saw such power when I sat with Busiswa, because I know Busiswa's story. But when I used the opportunity to get her to tell her story, therefore having a room full of girls feel like they're okay. You know, because she's walked the journey that they are currently on. And because they now know who she is, they find hope in what their future can look like.
Yes.
Because most of the time, especially with successful people, we only know about the glory and not the story, right? So I think it's so important, no matter where you are, no matter how small your community is, there's so much power in really telling your story, telling people what your journey has been. And if you are not in a space where you feel comfortable, start documenting it. Mm-hmm. Start finding things in the day that you think, you know what, this might be helpful for someone in the future when I am powerful and I have a platform to actually tell the story.
And this storytelling is extremely, I mean, that's the whole purpose of the social media, right? And is to tell your story and to roll out your story and so forth. As we wrap up, you know, that was number nine.
What was that, number nine?
That was number nine. Do you want to give the top, the number 10?
No, you can give the number 10. I'm okay with you giving the number
10. Renette, number 10 is going to be influencing. So this is how we're going to transition into your part of the day, because cool. The individual has so much power to influence market. In fact, if you're sitting on back and waiting for a brand to come to you, you've missed the entire plot. If you have a blog, if you love style, if you do hair, if you paint, whatever it is you do, you have the ability to influence another brand. So our number 10 is Rianette. So, no, I'm kidding. Let's go back through this top 10. Don't take yourself too seriously. Form tribes. Me time. Fortunately, with podcasts, you can go back and rewind and hear all of this. Change your habits. Appreciate the nostalgic. Be more efficient. Find your voice and help others find them. Be inspirational and create and provoke people's imagination. And number 9 is tell your story, which links beautifully to this sort of influencer space. So we transition. Nomad, any final comments on this? Anything you want to say before we hand over to Rianette?
Are we not coming back after Rianette?
No, we will come back. Okay, cool.
Awesome. Okay, so let's do this influencer thing. And it's great that it's part of your list, Timothy, because if you look at the role of an influencer nowadays, there are many different ways of looking at it. But I would like to share someone that I've met. She's been on our show before. It's Kirsty Sharman from Webfluential. She actually shared on the 1st of December 5 predictions for influencer marketing in 2017. And I thought it's really good for us to just look at what they say and what Kirsty said in an article, because it's so profound from a marketing point of view, but also if you're a brand custodian and so forth, for us to listen to this. So there's a big shift in the interest from content marketing to influencer marketing. And we've always heard content is king, content is king. So this is the new thing, is influencer marketing. And it's been going on for the last past years. It's grown. So number one, she says, is the rise of rich media influencers and the fact that it will continue. So with platforms like YouTube and Instagram on the rise, with consumers, more brands will turn to these rich media channels when looking to collaborate with influencers. And just to put everyone in the picture, Webfluential is a platform where you can either come on board as a brand or as an influencer. So a recent study by Google, for example, found that millennials see YouTube stars to be more influential than celebrities. Quite interesting, hey? And I think in South Africa, there is a big, it's quite interesting when you ask people what is the definition of a celebrity in South Africa. So I think that's something for us to note. So she also predict that Instagrammers and YouTubers will be in high demand in the years to come. And we can expect to see more campaigns like the collaboration between Mercedes-Benz and the Loki, the dog. And if you look at Instagram, he's the most popular wolf on Instagram. So it's really, and coming back to what we said earlier about emotions, evoking that. And they tell a story in this video of Loki and his human friend who goes on skiing trips and so forth. Number 2 is the hype around rules and regulations will die down. The fact that there are rules to protect consumers, etc., is very important. But in essence, rules and regulations are put into place to protect the interests of influencers, brands, and consumers, not only consumers. And these rules just become part of our day-to-day lives. The hype around them will ultimately die down. Number 3, she says, is the bartering mentality will die down, hopefully. When influencer marketing first started and it gained traction in the market, brands would often offer influencers free products in exchange for a blog post or mention on social media. Many people saw this as a harmless, but by accepting products as payment, a bartering culture was ultimately created. And this is not something that will be healthy if it continues that way. So in order for the industry to grow and mature, marketers need to evolve past bartering and get comfortable paying a standardized rate for the value influencers provide. And it's important for us to then start establishing what's that value and how that is measured. So number 4 comes back to that as well, is the platforms that survive will be the ones that solve real business challenges. And from whether you are the influencer or the brand, it's important to understand what your challenge is. Finding thousands of influencers is easy. Finding the right ones, that's the hard part. So she says, Kirsty says that the platforms that will survive are the ones that solve challenges marketers face. And working with influencers, not just finding them, things like management, budget guidance, payment processing, integrated reporting campaigns, insights, and most importantly, sustaining long-term relationships with the right influencers will be key. Number five, the last one for this portion is because he says that brands will own their own networks. So influencers must note that. Her strongest prediction for 2017, she says, is that there will be a shift from platforms that own influencer networks to platforms that allow brands to own their own influencer networks.
That's wonderful.
So
that's
she strongly believes that tech shouldn't restrict the relationship between brands and influencers. It should enable it. And if we get this right, we'll effectively give brands the power to really turn influencers into advocates and turn most powerful marketing tactics into workable solutions.
Sure.
So something that's came out of it the whole time for me is relationship. And whether you've got a relationship as a brand with an influencer or you're the influencer with your market, it's a challenge for us to use these platforms to keep those relationships thriving.
Yeah, I think it's important to sort of break down that particularly in the emerging markets, there are segments. So I feel like she's talking about, you know, typically around the bigger brands. You know, if you look at emerging brands, sort of brands that are, you know, fairly sort of small, I think the bartering thing needs to be taken out, but it's still happening at a very high level. And I do think on some level it will always exist. It's part of this sort of old school idea that if you are a brand new thing and you've got a bag, let's say you start a bag line and you are, you know, you work for yourself. You know, if I give that bag to somebody through a post, now once you become Louis Vuitton, then that doesn't make any sense anymore. So I think it's important to sort of break down the category that you operate in as you apply these top 10 ideas from influencing to don't take yourself seriously, whether you're Nando's or you are a two-man team or whatever you are. Look contextually at where you are and figure out how it applies to your life, because it's extremely important that you realize that, you know, it doesn't make sense for you if you are budgeting your capital expenditure, your revenue is still fairly small, to pay somebody $50,000 just to go and post on Instagram. And the integrated marketing idea, integrated measuring the metrics of influencing in particular, is going to evolve drastically. And things like YouTube, it's very big in certain segments of this market. But also, if you are do a product placement in something like Itsibaya, it's way bigger than YouTube. So it's understanding where you are in the market and knowing that people like, we had Grant Hines on, a YouTube influencer. He is doing extremely well in his market. Mm-hmm. So knowing which markets and how you relate to your market is extremely important. And take this conversation, do your own research, and chart your way forth in 2017. Noamdin, any final sort of comments?
I think just from what you're saying as well, it's important who your audience is.
Yes.
All right. So are you the person that's speaking to someone who only is on Facebook, like we spoke about previously, or are you speaking to someone who's exploring Twitter and Instagram and all the live technology and YouTube? But also what was interesting from what Rianette was talking about is just brands having their own influencer networks. I'm very interested to see how brands do that, because I feel what brands always miss in terms of their influencer engagements is the authentic community that the influencer channels, the tribe. Right. I'll be very interested to see how brands build tribes. I think brands disconnect at some points because obviously they're not always the ambassador of the brand or the brand manager is always not always the same person. So Pepsi has done it. They have a website where they push out content. I'm very interested to see how those relationships evolve with influencers.
Awesome. Guys, thank you very much. We'll be back next week, actually. I've got another pre-record that I'm going to show with, this is going to air with our neuroscientist, Dr. Tara Swart, and some extraordinary ideas about relationships. So we'll be back with that show next week. And so we'll speak to you soon. Thank you so much for subscribing and being a part of Unbranded.
Unbranded on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.